Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Get your advanced PhD in WOW from Floor and Decor. If you're a pro, you're already an expert in tile, wood, and stone. And with Floor and Decor's job site delivery, their free design services, and pro rewards that actually reward you, your business is set to grow from one client to the next. Floor and Decor isn't just a couple of aisles. It's an entire store designed to help your business boom. It's Floor and Decor.
Brett McKay here, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. So back in 2013, I got an email from a French guy named Erwan Lecour. He said he was the founder of something called MoveNat and wanted to write an article for us about how to do things like lift and carry a log efficiently. What MoveNat is a fitness program inspired by the same sort of physical training the ancient Greeks and Romans used and revitalized in the 19th century by physical culturists like Georges Herbert with his book The Natural Method. And the philosophy behind MoveNat is simple. Humans intrinsically know how to physically move their bodies and have an itch to do so in a variety of ways, but our sedentary lifestyle and even the way we exercise today has caused us to forget how to move efficiently and proficiently. MoveNat can help you solve that and relearn these basic movements. So today on the show, I talked to the founder of MoveNat, Erwan Lecour, and MoveNat performance director, Danny Clark, about what MoveNat is, the sort of things you're going to do in MoveNat, the classical inspiration behind it, and how it can help you to become strong to be useful. After the show is over, check out the show notes at aom.is/MoveNat, where you find links to resources where you can delve deeper into this topic. Erwan Lecour and Danny Clark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Brett.
All right. So, Erwan, you are the founder of MoveNat, and Danny, you're the performance director there helping develop curriculum for MoveNat. And we've, Erwan, you've actually written a few articles for the Art of Manliness about natural movement, the history of physical fitness. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with your work and what MoveNat is. But for those who aren't familiar with MoveNat, can you give us sort of the history of it? Like, how did you create this system of physical fitness? What's the inspiration behind it?
It's a mix. It's a mix of my personal experience and training, and it's also inspired by ancient physical culture, physical training systems in Europe, but namely and in especially what's called the natural method. Precisely, it was called a physical, virile, and moral education by the natural method, and this system was founded officially in 1905 by a French Navy officer called Georges Herbert, and his idea was that people had to be physically and mentally ready for the demands of the real world. So the training was based on practical natural movements that are necessary to respond physically in the real world. And the motto of this method was to be strong, to be useful. So that's my main influence. Though with the MoveNat method, we've made a number of substantial improvements to those ancient methods.
And that's interesting. I mean, you've written about Georges Herbert on the site before, and he's a really fascinating character in the system of cultural or physical culture that he developed. I mean, why did he feel it was necessary to develop this and promote it? Was there some sort of, what was going on in the history at the time in France and around the world where you said like, yeah, we need to teach people how to walk, how to run, how to crawl, how to climb?
Because not too surprisingly, back then, that's more than 100 years ago, people were already dealing with some of the same issues that modern populations deal with, which is a lack of physical training, lack of movement, and all the consequences on health, on fitness that this implies. Back then, you know, it was after the Industrial Revolution, so people already were massively transitioning from living on farms in the rural world to living in cities with much less movement, and the pollution already, and food started to become different, and so altogether, there was already a movement towards somewhat returning back to nature already back then. And returning to nature was also about returning to more natural behaviors, so natural movement. So that was one of these main preoccupation. But also he had a very important event in his life where he had to rescue hundreds of people with his crew when he was in the Navy after the eruption of a volcano. And what he noticed is that a lot of people were unable to help themselves. They could not run. They were not fit enough. And then his crew was trained by him, and they were able to save a number of people. So that idea of being strong to be useful was very important. So to wrap that up, his mission was to educate people to make sure that populations back then were physically fit and ready for the demands of the real world.
And so to that end, what sort of skills was he trying to impart with his natural method?
All the movement skills that are necessary when shit hits the fan, basically. That's when difficult circumstances arise that you realize how vital it becomes to be able to run fast or run for distance or to climb something high or to lift and carry something or somebody heavy, and then jump and balance and do all those movements that are natural, but that are for the most part forgotten in people's daily life.
All right. So you took that sort of idea that Georges did with the natural method and created the MoveNat system and adapted it. So we'll go to Danny on this one. So Danny, what are the big philosophical and practical principles of MoveNat? What are you trying to do with this system?
Well, MoveNat is about developing the lost art of physical competence through these natural patterns that Erwan's mentioning. You know, in our modern day environments of just cars and stairs and chairs, we've sort of eliminated the need to be physically capable. But the thing is, our bodies need stimulation to thrive. And that's what this is about. We restore natural movements in a more progressive, systematic way. But we still can't deny that movement essentially and fundamentally is our interaction with our environment. So when we think about, our culture now, we're taught to specialize so early, either through sports or academics, or we're taught to be basically sedentary. So people never really get the chance to develop these broad-based, like unspecialized movement skill sets that we, from an evolutionary perspective, used to develop. It was essential for our survival. So through this practice, we work on helping people escape this vicious cycle of sedentary living that we're seeing in modern day by learning skills that also have direct practical application to their modern day lives. So, it's not just about these big survival situations. I think that the most important thing is to create a base of movement skills that set us up to be able to do these high level skills, but also directly impact our everyday lives. So building efficiency in movements so that we can, instead of avoiding and being afraid of movements, we can actually become very efficient in movement, so that we're actually expending less energy to do the things that we do every day, whether it even just be getting up off the ground, running upstairs, carrying things, lifting things, playing with our children. If we can expend half the effort or even less doing this, moving becomes less of an intimidating prospect, and we can help penetrate people's lives a little bit better. So overall, MoveNat is about developing sort of these timeless classical skills that, again, directly relate to survival situations, but also really adding meaning to fitness and exercise for anybody, not just 20-year-olds, but anybody that's human.
Right. And it's not just, and what I love about MoveNat too, it's you focus on these really basic skills. We'll talk about what these basic skills are, but it's also getting people back into the wild and like encountering their environment in a more thoughtful way. Like, you want to get out there and see that tree and be like, that's not just a tree. It's like a tree I could climb in a certain way. And let's see how efficient I can be at climbing that tree.
Sure. And I mean, it's just remembering that, our ability to climb, for example, isn't something that we're just born with. It's something that's learned. We have to have a reason. Our body is a system of overlapping systems, strength, conditioning, perceptual abilities, all these dozens of systems that occur. And our system has to interact with our outside environment, which is a bigger system. And in that interaction, movement emerges. These patterns, like crawling, like climbing, happen. But in our modern day environment, without the stimulus or any reasons to actually use these patterns, they degrade over time. When we were young, we used to do this stuff all the time, but that doesn't necessarily mean we developed it very well. Maybe enough to get by in our environment at a fundamental level. But now, we enter school and we're never really given the stimulus to really build our ability to move well. So, I think it's certainly about being able to climb a tree, but I think it's also about all the whole spectrum of movement that we're not really doing right now. That includes lifting, but it's not exclusive to just lifting weights or running. It's really everything.
Right, right. It's those things we take for granted. So Erwan, in the article you wrote for us a couple years ago about introducing people to MoveNat, you made the argument that physical fitness kind of got off track. So, the natural method, this was part of a larger sort of emergence of physical culture in the West, right? This is when barbell training got its start, kettlebell training, bodybuilding got its start. And, Indian clubs, all that stuff. And that's kind of where it's led to this physical fitness industry that we have today. But you argue that the physical fitness industry got off track at one point. How so? And when did that happen?
The physical industry at some point got off track in the sense that it forgot what the human body is naturally capable of, and actually the fundamental and universal reason for physical training, which is again real competency, physical competency and preparedness for the real world. That's the foundation to us, and all the rest is great, but it's on top of that. It's optional. It's accessory. What is not accessory is your ability to operate your body in useful ways. And when I say useful, like Danny said, we are talking about the day-to-day movements, and we are also talking about your ability to respond to more challenging situations, to help yourself and to potentially help others, and to at least never be helpless to yourself and others. So that's a principle. That's a fundamental principle. So when you look at the evolution of physical training in history, and this used to be the rule. That's what people were looking for primarily. It's that physical competency and preparedness for the real world. But then it became a lot about what you look like, looking fit, not making sure that you are fit in the sense of, again, being able to respond efficiently and effectively to the demands of the real life, but to just look fit, which is very different. So from the primary goal of being physically ready for the real life, the whole industry of fitness has developed towards looking fit, but not having any preoccupation about making sure that you are fit, that you are physically competent and ready for the real life, which is very different. And it's not just a change in goals and in expectations, because the change in goals induced a complete change in methodologies used to reach these goals. So when you want to train to be ready for the real life, you realize that you must be able to jump, you must be able to lift and carry and throw and catch, you must be able to run and to climb and even to defend yourself. You must be able to perform all these fundamental, universal, natural movement skills. But when you train for looking fit, the methodologies that are you are going to employ to reach the cosmetic standards that you are looking for, a certain way of the body to look like, then again, the methods you're going to employ, they tend towards that goal. And that's when you end up with muscle isolation and a whole lot of machines designed to shape your movement and shape your body in a certain way. And that's when we indeed have completely lost track with the original intent of movement, which is, and the original intent of the body, which is practical movement. And this is not to say that MoveNet is not interested in the beauty, the appeal of an athletic looking body. It's just that this is the outcome of how we move and train. It's a natural movement is going to sculpt natural bodies and natural looking bodies that are much more balanced than when you try to isolate the body in parts as if it was made up of parts. The body is not made up of parts. The body is a whole unit, and it's supposed to function as a unit as well. So we are trying to bring the industry back towards the fundamental of movement in the body.
Right. And so go ahead, Danny.
I was just going to say, to add to that, I've been a trainer for a very long time, and I think I've seen overall a shift, maybe not in the total mainstream, but it's sort of the more, some segmented communities in the fitness industry, a shift away from purely aesthetic and a little bit more to functional, than this whole functional fitness sort of craze that came about with kettlebells and CrossFit and all these other tools. So, and even just strength training. And I think all that's part of the industry has evolved a little bit. Although again, I don't think it's fully penetrated the masses, but I still see a lot of isolation in that. So, okay, we're not isolating our biceps anymore, but we're still just trying to isolate systems now. We're isolating strength. Okay, and now, well, I have strength, but now I don't have mobility. So now I need to isolate mobility. Oh, well, now I need to isolate conditioning, or now I need to isolate my brain and figure out how to piece that all into the puzzle. So we have this really compartmentalized view of fitness, and this sort of stems from the therapeutic end of it. So trying to restore function. So it makes sense for a physical therapist to isolate a particular body part or a system, or in an athletic setting, definitely trying to isolate a particular system to play it up. But the people that get lost in that are the ones, the average people, the people that are really, really movement deficient. So none of these systems are functioning optimally or really to any respectable level, or any level that would represent thriving in this world. So trying to compartmentalize and just isolate systems becomes, okay, now I do strength, I do yoga, I do this, and we're trying to just throw it all together. But really, there's dozens of systems involved in the physiology of your body. So what MoveNat is decompartmentalizing functional fitness and turning it into something practical, something natural, something where strength, conditioning, mobility, all these things are in a nice organic balance. It becomes much more efficient so that the people who need it the most, especially those that are past their 30s, can really reap the benefits of all these benefits of our entire system improving without the need to become a master of really anything. Again, that specialization layer can be added, and there's nothing wrong with it, but MoveNat really represents the base of movement that we all should have, and that's really what it's about.
So yeah, let's go back to this idea of looking fit and being fit. So I'm sure you all in your teaching have encountered people from all walks of life and fitness levels. And I'm sure you've encountered people who looked like super ripped, like they were jacked, had chiseled abs, like they looked like they were fit. But any of those people you've encountered, like when you actually put them, you know, to the test, like they actually didn't have fitness?
As a martial artist, I could say I see that all the time. I've been a wrestler and a jiu-jitsu fighter for a very long time. And that's sort of the classic joke is when the bodybuilder or the CrossFitter steps into the jiu-jitsu mat and is actually asked to perform a task that's outside their training, and that high level of fitness or the look of fitness they've achieved really means absolutely nothing. And when asked to do something, and I would say Erwan has probably seen lots of this. I witnessed it when I met him, and we had an entire group of people. Some of them looked incredibly fit, and we, you know, struggled to do very, very basic tasks.
I've seen this over and over. And I remember my very first workshops in the woods of West Virginia in 2009. And I had groups made of diverse people. Some didn't do any kind of training. Others were back then already into CrossFit or other fitness modalities, but everybody had their challenges, everybody, and including those who did look very fit. And again, it's a beautiful thing to look great, to look fit, to look athletic, and there's really nothing wrong about it, but you don't want to get lost into self-flattery and also a false sense of physical competency just because you can do a number of pull-ups or you can sprint. That's great. These are aspects of physical competency that are very important. But for instance, just because you can do, say, 20 pull-ups in a row doesn't mean that you know the diverse techniques to climb on top of the bar where you hang from. And that's just one example. If you apply that to, say, jumping, you can jump up and down a box forever for time, for stamina. Awesome. But can you perform that single shot, that single jump between those two rocks with be able to cross the distance and land with accuracy and with balance? Because that's also part of physical competency. And this is also jumping. And there are many other ways that you can jump that are not just jumping up and down a box and that are absolutely crucial. And that idea that you are able to jump anything because you can do those 100 jumps on the box, or that you can climb anything because you can do those 20 pull-ups in a row on a bar. This, again, can easily give you a false sense of physical competency, but it's only a limited competency that you have. And you need to open your mind and open your training to many more aspects of competency and the necessary adaptability to varied environmental or situational demands.
So let's talk about the specific skills. We've been talking high level here. What are the specific skills that you're trying to impart or reteach people with MoveNat?
I think that it starts with the basics. It's the very simple things that our environment doesn't really dictate that we do very much anymore. But simple things like being able to sit on the ground and hold a position for, 30 seconds or 10 minutes or whatever without your back cramping and without your neck aching, or having to switch positions a million times, being able to get up off the ground very smoothly and easily, being able to crawl. So a lot of the stuff that we start with, are things that, you did when you were, sort of your original, physical competence quest when you're a baby. Just because, you did it back then doesn't mean that you can do it now. So much has been degraded over time. That really is the starting point, the foundation. And then it starts to move up in domains to some more advanced things. That's like balancing and all the way to super high level things like vaulting and climbing.
A lot of people today have issues simply squatting up and down, and also just holding a deep squat, for instance. That's just one example of some of the limitations that most modern people face today. They would have problem hip hinging, which is also a fundamental movement pattern. So when people have those issues to begin with, how are they going to be able to jump and land properly, efficiently, and safely? There's no way. It's going to be challenging. So, working on the fundamental movements is essential to eventually be able to be ready for the more explosive, more demanding movements, and also the more challenging environments. So if I'll take the example of jumping, for instance, we're not going to ask you to jump right away between, clear an obstacle with a real elevation. And no, you're going to start learning the technique at ground level on a short distance where it is easy, and where you will first learn an efficient pattern, an efficient technique. Then we will increase the intensity. Then we will increase the complexity or of the environment where you jump. So there are progressions that are necessary, so that people can learn actually faster than just trying the hard stuff right away. And they also can do it in a way that is safe for their body.
Right. And so it's not just crawling. It's not just jumping. I mean, when I did the seminar a few months ago, we dedicated a section to just how to hold things, like heavy things, efficiently, which is something you take for granted. But if you think about, it's amazing that if you actually take some time to think about it, how you can position your body or your hands or your arms in a way where you can take this heavy, odd object and make it actually comfortable to carry. And it was amazing how much of a change that can have in your life.
That's the beauty of technique and movement efficiency. In the fitness industry, or at least what I like to call the old school fitness industry, bodybuilding type and so on, they make simple movement look complex and difficult, like a biceps curls, for instance. You need a whole technique and a certain way to do it, which is in part true, but come on, that's a bicep curl, right? But we make movement that are actually complex movement. We make them look easy because of practicing efficiency, which means to be really agile and light and accurate and smooth. But the truth is that those movements, to look like this and feel like that, it requires practice. And that's the difference between what I call the primary nature of movement, which is that natural movement is innate in all of us, and that's for sure. We all have a certain ability to perform these movements that does not need to be taught. However, efficiency in these natural movements, that what needs to be taught and learned and trained consistently, because this is not for granted. And this is what surprises people when they're asked to do the simplest movements, a simple get up and get down from ground to standing, standing to ground. And then they realize that they are off balance. They realize that they need their hands. They realize that they are stiff all over. They realize that they are holding their breath. They realize that those movements they took for granted, actually, they haven't practiced them in years. And they're not that good at it. And those movements, nonetheless, are essential to life. They are your basic function. Actually, there's a study that was done in Brazil where the ability to get down and get up from the ground without using your knees and without using your hands especially was a predictor of life expectancy. So if you were able to get up and get down without using your hands, you had a longer life expectancy than people who had to use their hands and had trouble basically doing the movement. And in fact, it makes sense because from a biological standpoint, why on earth would you want to have a long life expectancy if your body is dysfunctional? And the same is true with grip strength. If you don't have the people who have greater grip strength, the people who are in hospital will get out of the hospital faster than the people who have weaker grip strength. Why on earth would you have greater health and life expectancy if you don't have basic strength in your hands?
Right.
So it's all, you know, mobility, balance, coordination, strength. All of that is necessary for a body to be healthy, to be truly functional, and to live long and to live with a high quality. So through those natural movements, you restore that potential and then you maintain it for as long as you can.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. So I got a tree from Fast Growing Trees. I had a tree in my front yard that I had to cut down, a big giant oak tree because it died, and I wanted to put a maple tree there, one that turned this bright red during the fall. So I found that tree, made sure that it fit the climate that we're at here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ordered it. A few days later, I got the tree in a box. It's crazy they can send a tree in a box. And I planted it. A few weeks after I planted it, it's already starting to sprout leaves. So I think in a few years, I'm going to have that bright red maple tree that happens in the fall. I'm really looking forward to that. So if you want to try Fast Growing Trees out, this spring they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off with their first purchase when using code manliness at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code manliness at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code manliness. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Texas Pete is the sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. Each Texas Pete sauce is packed with a bold, balanced flavor. The signature tanginess is what makes it a legendary hot sauce that can be used on just about anything. You're definitely going to want to try every flavor. The original hot sauce has a famous secret blend of fermented peppers. Their hotter hot sauce is 3 times hotter than the original, and it's not for the faint of heart. They also got a flavor called Sabor by Texas Pete, adds authentic Mexican flavor. And they also have a dust dry seasoning that matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. But the flavor that I've been enjoying lately is the chop sriracha sauce. It's got chili, garlic, and some tropical tangy notes. It's really good. I love putting on my eggs. Texas Pete, sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And you can use promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. That's PODCAST24. For 20% off at TexasPete.com. Check out the Sriracha Cha Sauce. It's wedding season, and while weddings are all about the bride and groom, they're also a chance for you to look your best.
With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though suits start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and they'll be ready for wedding season. The process of customizing a suit on Indochino, very easy to do. It's also a lot of fun. I've talked about my navy blue suit I've gotten from Indochino. First off, you can decide how the jacket is, how you want the pockets on the jacket to be, how you want the lapels, the vent on the back, the lining on the pants. You can decide you want pleats or no pleats. I went no pleats on my pants on this one. And then you do the measuring process. You'll need someone to help you, but they have this very easy to follow guide. Send that all in a few weeks, you have a custom made-to-measure suit sent directly to your door, and you're going to pay about the same price for a suit that you'd pay for an off-the-rack suit at a department store. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code MANLINESS to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code MANLINESS. Check it out today. There's a famous Abraham Lincoln quote that goes something like, "Good things come to those who wait." That's only part of the quote. The full quote is, "Good things come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle." Well, if you're a business owner and want the best people on your team, the same applies. Thankfully, ZipRecruiter puts the hustle in your hiring, so you can find qualified candidates fast. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/manliness. ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds top talent for your roles right away. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/manliness to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/manliness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Right, going on that study about mortality rates and being able to get off the ground, I read another study or an article talking about one reason why people in Japan might live longer than people, say, in America, is that in Japan, the bed is usually on the floor, right? And in the retirement homes, like these old people in retirement homes are constantly having to get up off the floor, and they can do it because they do it all the time, and they have that strength, that coordination to do it. But here in America, it's like not like you might be in a bed that sort of lifts you up. You lifts yourself out of the bed. So you don't have to use any of those muscles. And so the mortality rate increases because we've lost that ability to get off the ground.
Exactly. So it means that your environment dictates your movement behavior. So you have two choices here. And actually, they are complementary. One is that you can change your environment. So you can go for less furniture or different furniture, so that at least your day-to-day movements are changed. They require more range of motion. They require more attention and effort on your part. That's one way. But the other way is to simply realize this. Okay, there's nothing in my life that demands that I run and sprint, that demand that I balance and jump, that demand that I crawl low on the ground. Zero, none. I don't need it for food, to get my food. I don't need it because there's no actual danger in my life or necessity like that. I don't make a living because I have to move in all these ways. However, I can devise a strategy so that I make those movements possible again. And that's the idea, is that you want to have a vision of yourself, of a person who possesses these skills, that strength, those physical qualities, and you need to practice. And even when the necessity to perform these movements and these efforts is not there, you are going to create, even if it's just in your mind, the conditions so that you can have your body behave in the way it's supposed to behave. And that's natural movement. Right. And that's movement.
Yeah.
I think this is super powerful for, again, I work with an older population often, and adding meaning to movements that directly carry over to their life, such as getting up off the ground, crawling, practicing these movements is life-changing. For them, and it can be, and it's a base for anybody. So
Actually, we have team instructors, Cameron, he's based in Houston, and he's been working with a group of war veterans who are disabled, who lost a limb, who served the country, but then they come back and their day-to-day life is completely changed because their body has changed. And using the MoveNet methods and principles and techniques, he's been able to teach these guys to be able to, for instance, get back to get down to the ground and back up on their own without assistance. And that was, again, another life-changing experience or event in their lives, because that's autonomy, and that's a beautiful thing to see. So it doesn't matter what are the conditions in your life that led you to be either, you know, overweight or dysfunctional. I mean, life is not easy and it can really be harsh. But what I want to express here is that there are methods out there that exist that are going to re-empower you, to support your self-empowerment through movement that is useful, does not aim at making you look good in the mirror, but that is designed to make you perform again and be empowered through sometimes performing again the simplest movements.
Yeah, the getting up off the floor without using your hands or knees, that's not a joke. Like, that is hard. Dan, you probably remember, like, it took me a while to get that, and it hurt. Like, it was like, because I hadn't done that in years. But once I was able to do it, it's actually pretty cool. It's like, hey, I don't need a chair. I don't need a bed to get off the ground. I can just use my own two feet and make that get up. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how it should be, because when you can get up and off the ground more easily, you're more likely to get on the ground. And, you know, again, for some people, being able to get on the ground, feel comfortable there, is going to have them interact with their kids, their grandkids more often. And then for the young bucks who aren't really that motivated by these, like, sort of simple or what they would consider probably like old people stuff or whatever, you know, there's this whole other layer, and this is what is incredible about MoveNet, of these high level skills that are about being helpful and useful for survival situations. And that's sort of what resonated with me, was, okay, I can use this professionally, and then I can benefit from this practice personally. There's this compelling meaning to my fitness. It's not just about vanity. It's not just about quantifying my fitness and hitting a certain number. It now is about something a little bit bigger than me. And for me, that gives me a lot of personal satisfaction. It's very intuitive, and it's a pretty cool thing. It's an incredible movement.
Right. Yeah. What I love about go ahead, Ramon. Did you have something you were
saying? Oh, Brett, sorry to interrupt, but so I love what Danny said, and actually I wanted to express something that whoever is into the art of manliness is, I believe, going to really relate with, is that idea that so there's no rite of passage in our modern societies anymore, or practically none. And that idea that you can embrace physical training not just to look good, which will happen, by the way, but not for that reason, not even just for yourself, but for yourself and others. It's you turn your physical training into a constant rite of passage, where with every progress you make, your ability to help others, if needed, to serve others in that way, is greater. With your personal physical accomplishments and progress, you become more, potentially more helpful to yourself, but also your neighborhood, your community, or even perfect strangers. And that is a very important psychological asset, not only to grow that self-confidence when you walk the streets and you know that you can do pretty much anything if anything happens, but you know that you won't be helpless to yourself or of others because you have learned to be helpful or useful to yourself and others through your physical practice. And this is relating back to that idea of moral education that was so dear to Georges Bert. He talked about this physical, virile, and moral education by the natural method. It's that idea that it's not just physical. It's also about mental fortitude whenever it's needed. And ultimately, it's about the intention that guides you, which is the difference between right and wrong, that idea that you can do something good in your life and that you can be useful to others. It's a moral component that never goes old, never gets old. It's timeless, it's universal. And the MoveNat training also embraces that approach, that philosophy. It's not just physical, and even though the physical part is obviously the foundation and the main focus, ultimately, we want to equip people with the physical skills, the physical qualities, but also the mental and moral qualities and values that make them better people in this world.
I mean, that's one thing I loved about MoveNat at the seminar. When we were learning these skills, like, for example, when we were learning how to throw, right? You learn how to throw in MoveNat with heavy medicine balls. But, like, you're always trying to bring it back to, like, okay, when would you use this? Well, you might use this when you're throwing sandbags in a chain to stop a flood. Or you're carrying heavy, odd-shaped objects. You're like, well, this is something you probably do if you're helping, you know, your old neighbor move mulch bags in her yard to clean things up. It's always bringing it back to how can this be useful to others? And it's not just a sort of a self-gratifying aesthetic thing. It's all about be fit to be useful.
Right. It's true. Some movement skills, some techniques, it's not about intensity. It's not about strength. It's not about explosiveness. It can be just as simple as the accuracy you need in eye-hand coordination to throw and catch a shovel, an axe, a piece of equipment that's or tool that's going to be important in a given situation.
And I think it's an incredible concept too, because, you know, for me, I started wrestling competitively when I was 4 years old, and to be able to find a philosophy and an entire movement system that has a biological basis, but also is not about competition inherently against others, is really interesting to me. And it has implications for my own life, in that I can truly make my practice not about this alpha, I'm going to go beat someone thing. It's truly for me, and it's truly for others. With a young son of 2 years old, you know, I think that that's pretty powerful. And I think that there's nothing wrong with competition, but if that sort of philosophy can rub off, I think it could help balance out our competitive nature a little bit. I think there'd be some positive implications for society and for individuals who are bogged down by everything being about competition. You can certainly use this to be an extremely powerful competitor, as you know, MMA fighter Carlos Condit did, and many others, or even myself have, but to be able to do something that's not always about competition is powerful.
Right. And I think it's an important point to make, is that MoveNat doesn't have to replace your current fitness modality. If you have an area of focus like strength training or running or Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whatever, MoveNat can be a supplement to that. So, I mean, talk about that. How can, you know, working on your crawling or working on your climbing make you a better, say, power lifter, for example?
I think in many ways. First of all, any specialized sport or practice has trade-offs associated with it. So, you know, in a way, you're extending the longevity of your practice, of your particular sport. So, you know, someone like a power lifter, like I was into that for a little bit. You know, there's going to be certain injuries that come about with overuse. And by practicing natural movements or a broader spectrum of movements, you can negate some of those effects. I think that's what cross training essentially is all about. But instead of doing something else that's also more strength to try and negate that, or very extreme that needs a lot of recovery, you're doing something that could be restorative, like crawling. I think that crawling and climbing both build a tremendous amount of structural integrity that lifting can, but not always does, can do. So again, relating it back to myself, I don't really max deadlift very much anymore. I focus on adding more complexity to my deadlifting. But I went and deadlifted the other day for the first time and was pulling over 400 for multiple reps. And it wasn't because I was on a powerlifting cycle. It was because the quality of my joints, my overall function of my body, how it's tied together, has improved through doing these other patterns. So I think that it can benefit you in a lot of different ways. I think too, from for sports that require a ton of perceptual abilities, like mixed martial arts or any combat sports, even any sort of like ball sports, or a sport that requires a lot of jumping or skiing, working on your general ability to be able to perceive your environment, I think carries over to your specific tasks. So I think a great example was Erwan's work with Carlos Condit, where Carlos has a very specific strategy to be able to beat high level opponents. But by working on his specific footwork and his perceptual abilities in jumping, he was able to make some changes to his strategy to just put himself in better positions. Anytime you put yourself outside of the same patterns you do all the time, there's a lot of opportunity for growth.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that MoveNat can help your strength training. I primarily do barbell training, but one issue I've had from sitting down all the time, that's what I do most of the time, is I got really tight in places like my chest or my hip abductors. And doing some of the movement progressions in MoveNat has helped open those things up so that I can get a little bit lower, or I can get the bar in position on the low bar squat easier. Before, I was so tight in my chest, I couldn't even do it at the beginning. But doing some of the opening movements with MoveNat has completely increased that flexibility so I can get in that position comfortably.
And there's a lot of benefits from adding, heavy loads. And, we view in MoveNat that lifting isn't something separate from natural movement. Lifting is just a part of natural movements. So when you're lifting, you're still practicing natural movements. There's a lot of, because of the movement deficit that happens when we stop playing, when we stop growing in our environment as youngsters, we start sitting a lot in school. A lot of the function of our torso, whether it be your pelvic floor, all these, whether it be your posture, just your general positioning, they can degrade. And just lifting heavy isn't necessarily going to activate your full potential. So by more movement variety, more stimulation of your body and a lot of different planes of motion that lifting sort of ignores or doesn't get a chance to stimulate, you absolutely can improve your lifting. I think the more your general movement ability increases, the more any specific movement ability is going to increase as well.
There's also that culture of muscular tightness, muscular hardness. Especially in the strength circles, even that idea of irradiation, where you want every muscle possible in your body to contribute and to create some tension. But the problem is that movement efficiency doesn't work that way, and you need that selectivity in tension, selective tension, and that also means the art of relaxation in movement. And we know that the elite athletes are amazing at relaxation, actually. And when we talk about relaxation, I'm not talking about relaxing by the pool and drinking cocktails all day or stretching all day. I'm talking about relaxation in movement. And so we don't have that culture of muscular tightness. Actually, it's the opposite. We want the body to be more relaxed. We want the muscles to be more relaxed, because when they are more relaxed, then it means that your patterns are more fluid and accurate. But it also means that you can produce force better. And so it's not a surprise that the people who are, say, into strength, but also who have that mentality of constant, you know, maximum tension and tightness, are going to actually see strength, gains in strength by simply learning to relax.
Yeah, and that's hard to do, to learn how to relax muscles.
And to breathe.
And to breathe, right. It's one of those things you take for granted. So let's talk about this. So we talked about MoveNat. There's some basic skills. There's crawling, there's balancing, there's throwing, there's hanging from a bar. In MoveNat, there's this thing called progressions, where you kind of progress from one movement to another. You know, for those who are listening to the podcast, like, I want to give this a try. What would like a typical movement progression look like for a beginner who's just starting?
So if we look at like one movement domain or aptitude, such as balancing, it would be as simple as starting on a 2x4 at ground level. So being able to walk forward and backwards, or maybe even turn yourself around on a fairly wide object that still, for most people, will still be a challenge to be able to spend a couple minutes on there and be able to, you know, learn how to effectively counterbalance, to be able to relax and breathe and not be overly tense or flailing their arms all over the place. So that would be like the starting point. And then to progress from there, we can change either volume, intensity, or complexity. And for those that are in the strength industry, volume and intensity are very familiar. So volume would be just doing more of that same exact thing. Intensity would be, we could add a load to that while you're doing it. So we can add a carry now. So you're holding something while doing that, that balancing sequence. Or we can add complexity. And that's sort of the forgotten training variable in classical training, which is we can change the object itself. We can make it a more narrow surface, like a rail. We can elevate that surface. And you'll find that as that complexity increases, you have to sort of relearn the pattern. Standing on a 2x4 is much different than standing on a rail. And standing at ground level is much different than standing 8 feet above the ground. So it's not always about new shiny movements, you know, flashy stuff. It's just about adding that complexity, as well as the volume and intensity, to progress in a very systematic and safe way. If we just had somebody start by balancing at height, could you imagine the second they stop breathing, they're going to fall. And they're probably not going to be breathing because of how afraid they are. So in MoveNat, we make these skills very, very attainable, but we use incremental steps so that anyone from a youngster to a senior can move through these progressions to the level that they feel comfortable with and what they want to achieve.
Yeah, I love that. The 2x4 is a great, if any of you are interested in MoveNat, like it costs a few bucks. I have one in my living room, and every time I walk by it, I'll occasionally balance across it, or I'll stand on it for a while and try to crouch down. I've been able to incorporate that into my daily routine. It's not that hard to do. I don't have to set aside time for MoveNat. It just becomes a part of my day.
It sounds so simple. And you can't tell someone, it's one of those things you have to try it to really understand how profound it is, how interesting it is, how engaging it is, to be able to do this type of stuff. If you're just used to the classical, just lifting and calorie burning type of fitness, it might sound boring. I certainly didn't try it until I just kind of forced myself into a retreat with Erwan. And from there, it opened up my entire world of new possibilities of viewing movement as a skill and feeling the benefits of that skill improvement. it's, to me, just as rewarding as a max deadlift, if not more. I'd say it's more in line with being able to win against a high-level jiu-jitsu competitor, that sort of gratification as you feel your skill level increase.
Right. Your trust and belief come through practice. I know that Danny could talk about the science between all these movements in a very precise way, and but the truth is that ultimately really boils down to practice and then observe and feel, because it's going to happen. It's going to take place in your body more than it takes place in your mind. You'll have an experience of what it is and what it brings to your body, to what it can do. And it's to whoever has practiced MoveNat, they are really often shocked by how much difference it makes, and including in their specialty training, in their whatever is their forte, that they are into lifting, into running, into grappling, into whatever, because they get to be exposed physically to all those different patterns and physiological and physical adaptations that they are not exposed to when they only practice their specialized sports.
So let's talk about this. We've been very basic, and I'm sure there's people who are listening to this like, oh, okay, crawling, okay, balancing on a 2x4. It sounds like kid stuff or old people stuff. But to give us an idea of how, you know, where MoveNat can go, as far as complexity and just the complexity of it and the skill required to do it. Can you talk about some of the feats of strength and agility that an instructor needs to accomplish in order to become, I guess, the highest is level 3 certification in the MoveNat system right now? I mean, what are some of the stuff they have to do in order to get that certification? Because I think it's pretty insane with some of the stuff they have to do.
Yeah, sure. It's an extension of the basics, but it requires, again, more volume, intensity, and complexity, with a higher emphasis on adaptability through complexity, through moving through complex environments. So instead of, again, just testing, first of all, we test the full spectrum. So we don't expect just competency and just being able to jump or just be able to balance. You have to be able to lift as well. For example, in the last level 3 we did, we were outside for the final test. We did an entire outdoor portion, and we had people, all of our candidates, pick somebody up over their shoulders in like a fireman's carry position. So the person's, you know, like you're carrying them like a fireman would. Most people are familiar with that. It's a skill we do go over in level 2. And then you're walking across a muddy stream. And then we were doing like a squat, to where they had to squat down to hips below their knees 5 times with the person on their back. So it's not just testing the strength. Of course, there's a huge strength component to that. You're squatting your own body weights, but you're also testing their ability to successfully actually pick someone up and do something, to be able to carry someone, to be able to deal with the slippery surface. And this isn't something that we expect somebody, this is why we have prerequisites. Well, someone has to have earned their level 2 already to do this. So if I just had someone off the street do that, expecting to earn a level 3 certification, they would probably drop the person. But these people have earned that ability to do that. And if they haven't, then they don't do it and they have to come back and earn that adaptability. That's just one example. We have precision landings, which involve stepping up onto a rail at elevation, jumping to another narrow surface 6 or 7 feet away, and being able to, what we call, stick your landing, meaning your feet make contact and you don't just fall off. You're able to actually gain control over your landing, stand up, and step off. And these are just examples. We require, again, in level 3, instead of just a basic pull-up, even in level 2, we require the ability to get over an object, like over a bar, instead of just being able to do a pull-up through various techniques that we have in the MoveNat system. But in level 3, we require even more power. So it's not just your your technique. It's your technique and your ability to generate power to be able to do a power up, which is like a muscle up, and get on top of a bar and then balance for a distance over a complex surface. So it's really kind of the apex of bringing in the volume, intensity, and complexity to the patterns we learn. But I tell the students that this is like earning your black belt in, you know, in natural movements. But just like in jiu-jitsu, a black belt doesn't really mean that you're very good yet. It just means you've achieved a baseline level of mastery of the movements, of the ability to perform the movements with control, with a level of technique. It's still just the starting point. It's just the entry point into what it can become. And that's why I like to think about MoveNet as really the martial arts of movement. It's an ongoing evolution that really never stops.
Right. So there's a lot of room for growth. So it's not just crawling, you know, army crawl. Like, there's a possibility where you can get really advanced. So you're never going to stop learning. You're never going to stop progressing in MoveNet.
The point isn't to make these positions hard. It's to make it so that they're effortless. That's the long-term goal. You know, for me as a someone who is into powerlifting and even martial arts, I used to be afraid to, I would hate to admit it, but to go on like long hikes because I would fatigue out fast, or to go jumping on rocks all the time. As much as I enjoyed that type of stuff, I just didn't really have the efficiency. So it was sort of something I wouldn't do. And MoveNet, we developed such a high level of efficiency that, you know, these type of things aren't taxing. They're actually easy. And that's what we're looking for. You're not passed just by doing them. They have to look absolutely effortless.
Well, guys, this has been a great conversation. Where can people, like, if they wanted to start MoveNet, right, where can they go? Is it the best way to go to a seminar? Or if there's not a seminar nearby, are there videos online or courses they can take online to start with MoveNet?
I think the most important thing, if possible, is to attend either a workshop or a certification. We're working on making that more available to more diverse regions. So keep an eye out on that. If you go to the website and you don't see one in your area, stay tuned, because we're going to have them all over the place very soon. Nothing really substitutes that coaching experience, you know, to be able to have someone look at your movement level and progress and be able to figure out what can help you improve. So mentors and coaches are so important with this type of stuff. That said, as an introduction to natural movement, if you sort of want to get started, Erwan has a book coming out very shortly that is about the practice of natural movement. And we have videos on YouTube, and I have an entire instructional series called From the Ground Up on our website that can that's in our journal section, that you can start to see some of these movements. There's some instruction in it, so you can start to play around with it. So there's a variety of resources. It's really easy to get involved, but I really think nothing substitutes attending a workshop or a certification.
Erwan LeCour, Danny Clark, thanks so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. It's been a pleasure too.
My guests today were Erwan LeCour. He's the founder of MoveNet, as well as Danny Clark, the performance director at MoveNet. You can find more information about MoveNet and how to get started at MoveNet.com. And also check out the show notes at aom.is/MoveNet, where you can find links to resources where you can delve deeper into this topic. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Art of Manliness podcast. For more manly tips and advice, check out the Art of Manliness website at artofmanliness.com. Our show is edited by Creative Audio Lab here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. If you have any audio editing needs or music production needs, check them out at creativeaudiolab.com. As always, I appreciate your continued support. And until next time, this is Brett McKay telling you to stay manly.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.